You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Now, for those of you who just came here this morning, we had a tremendous time. We started a brand new series entitled, Thank God It's Monday. Okay? Now, I know that the common thing is Thank God It's Friday, but this entire series is dedicated for the next 4 weeks to talk about your Monday. Monday is the day of work, the first day of the week. And the idea behind this series is to talk about work. And over the course of the next 4 weeks, the goal of the series is to unpack for you what the Bible says about work. And our objective is to make you literally want to get out of your house on Monday morning, wanting to get to work excited. And I know that all of you is thinking, you're out of your mind, Pastor. That's not going to happen. But I trust you that after the next 4 weeks, this message or series of messages will help you. The idea is to talk about work and that God has a lot to say about it. And many times, even this morning, this afternoon, when you were told to speak to somebody and ask them something, the question you asked was, what do you do? The minute you meet somebody in a restaurant or in a party, one of the first things you ask is not how old they are. You ask them, what do you do? What kind of work do you do? Because the reality is work defines us. It actually rather tells us who we are. And there's an important reason for that, as we will see in a bit, that the Bible says that is important. Last week, we had a 3-day mid-year prayer and fast. And in the middle of that week, I had the opportunity to go and attend a 60th birthday of a lady right smack in the middle of the fast. And she was celebrating at the Manila Hotel. And it had this array of, almost like a set of food that was coming to the table, but I couldn't eat. How many of you know that's torture? So now, when I got to the party, then obviously the soup came and the salad came, and that was all right. The appetizers came, and then the steak came. Okay, and that was troublesome. Now, but the point I'm reason why I'm saying telling you this story is because towards the end of the evening, her son came up, and her son, who was a young lawyer, get up and very eloquently spoke and honored his mother and talked about how great a mother she was, how great a parent, and how she was a career employee for the government, and how she had stayed true and honorable. And she wasn't a politician, she was just an employee of the government. Her father, her husband, was an architect, and he was on hand to honor the work that she had done. It's very touching because there is honor in work, and we need to understand that, because at the end of the day, work is something that all of us at some measure do. Unfortunately, these days, when people talk about work, it sounds like a burden. You often hear it's a burden. When you say work, it feels like a burden. Or, I don't really have a choice. The only reason why I do it is because I've got to feed kids. I've got to put them through college. I've got to pay my bills, my electricity. That's the only reason why I work. And we're missing the point because we don't really fully understand what God has to say about work. Then there's the ones that says, thank God it's Friday. I'm glad work day is over. And somehow you're just not blessed by it. That's why instead of saying, thank God it's Monday. Now, by the way, Monday is my day off, so I always say, thank God it's Monday. But on the other hand, I also say a lot that thank God it is Sunday, because I'm rather excited to work. I love my work. I love coming to church on Sunday with 100% of my energy wanting, desiring to work. In fact, this morning when I was driving over here, last night I was praying, Lord, please make sure it doesn't rain because people have a hard time coming to church, blah, blah, blah. And as I came back, I said, Lord, I prayed to you last night that it wouldn't rain so that people would come. I said, no, Joey, realize that people have cars and umbrellas. My plants need water, amen? How many know God wants to take care of his plants? You need to learn how to talk to God. God talks back. You'd be amazed. Now, other than that, the other extreme of this is there are people who are just outrightly confused or feel that their jobs are a curse or their work is a curse. But there are people who say, I love my job. It's actually my life. Not just my life, it is my provider. In other words, it's my God. That's what I do. That's all I have. It's my life. It's the thing I love, and it's the one that provides for me. It's kind of like I love God, he's my life, and he's my provider. And there's an extreme in both ends. We want to find where God's word stays and what it says about work and how you and I can literally be excited to declare that when Monday hits, thank God it's Monday. Okay, now, having said that, 80% of people, according to statistics, are dissatisfied with work. Not only are they dissatisfied, majority are overworked. And finally, roughly about 90,000 hours of your life will be spent on work. In other words, we want to know how this works. Now, I want to start by talking to you about the story of work. Work has a story, and we find that story in the Bible. The word work is actually not the word job. When you hear the word job is not work the way the Bible describes it. The word job is a task that you get paid for. That's a job. You got to do that. So some people misconstrue and think that work and job are the same. There's a similarity, but they're really not the same. Now, the word work is also not employment. Employment is your job that you were doing, and now for an extended period, you've now been employed. In other words, now, once upon a time, you were doing it part-time, now you're employed, and now you're doing it full-time. You get it? Okay? Now, the word work is also not the word occupation. Occupation means the thing that occupies my time. In other words, before, I did this 2 hours as a job. Now I do it 8 hours, and now this is the time, the thing that really occupies me. This is what occupies my life. And finally, the word work is also not the word career. Now, these words are not bad. I'm just trying to explain to you that's not what this word work means. The word work in the Hebrew is actually the word abad. If your name is Abad, you have a good name. Right? That's what it means. Abad is the idea of blessed labor. Work literally means blessed labor. In fact, the word work, this word, shows up very early in the Bible. It shows up for us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to abad, to work it. There's a blessing that comes with it. In other words, you were designed to work. The more you exercise work, and some of you, the minute I say work, you feel depressed, right? You're so out of work that, or out of the thinking of work, that to you, when you hear that word, it depresses you. But the reality is the word work, the way it was intended to be, was meant to be a blessing. That the more you work, the better you felt. And the more you work, the better things went for you. Now, what happened was, the story of work was, when man sinned, that dimension of abad, being blessed labor, changed very dramatically. We find that in Genesis chapter 3. After man and woman sinned, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. Interesting that today when we give birth to children, we actually say we're in labor, which is abad. But it's not as blessed as it ought to be. And the good news is if we're under the blood of Christ, our childbearing should be blessed. In pain you shall bring forth children. That whole idea of pain shows up for the first time in Scripture. But more than that, when it came to Adam, he started to say, and to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and not have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat all the days of your life. In other words, your labor is no longer blessed. It's actually rather cursed. And so becomes the switch to the nature of work and becomes the source of confusion oftentimes why we don't want to work. However, in the book of Deuteronomy, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, we find this word comes back to life. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, the blessing of God, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless the work of your hands. It's part and parcel of your being a child of God is this idea of having blessed labor. Now, a few days ago, I was writing my blog that's coming out on Thursday on values, and I referenced a moment in the 1960s history. I referenced the Woodstock concert. The Woodstock concert, for those of you who are younger, those of you who are my age know exactly what this is, was a concert that happened in a farm just outside of the state, somewhere in the state of New York, and over 400,000 young people gathered at this place. And for 3 nights of basically drugs, of rebellion, of music, it was built as peace and love. And after Woodstock, came what I believe the word ambiguity to a lot of the things that you and I were plain and simple those days. In fact, one of the first words that became ambiguous, or ambiguous simply means it's no longer clear what it means, is the word freedom. After Woodstock, the idea of freedom has been changed. It actually basically means that you're free to do whatever you want to do. But the idea of freedom, the real meaning of freedom, is love. When you enjoy a certain freedom, it's because someone is paying for the things that you're spending for free. You got it? If you're enjoying free electricity, it's because your parents are paying for that and you're enjoying the freedom. Got it? In other words, when you lose the essence of God in something, you lose the meaning of that word. In the same way that peace changed. After Woodstock, peace became whatever people wanted it to be. And love changed. It could now be mean anything. We could have free sex. We could do whatever you want in the name of love. And in the same manner, when you eliminate God from a certain thing, you lose the essence of that word. The point of bringing this up to you is that's true for work. That the only way you're going to fully understand what this word means is when you understand what God's role is in light of work. Now, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to work, what it means to rest, what it means to do this thing every day. But today, I want to talk to you in light of God and His work. I've got three simple points, and the first one is God works. God works, and if you don't believe that, the minute you open your Bible, the very first page of the Bible, in the very first chapter of the very first book, of the very first verse of the Bible, talks about God working. In the beginning, God created. He was working. God works. And you and I were made in the image of God, in which case there is a part of us that needs to understand how work is, how valuable it is, and how it will work to our benefit. Now, our world actually reflects God's work. When you look around the world and you look around the work that people do, a lot of that is reflective of God's work. For instance, you see God as the gardener. You see the gamut, the tens and thousands of flowers and plants and the varieties. You think about orchids alone. You got pink and you got violet and you got big and you've got small and you've got white and you've got blue and you've got yellow and you've got all sorts. He's a gardener, and we see his handiwork, his work, all over the place. When you think of God as an artist, we see music and instruments, and we see sunsets and sunrises, and we see all the artistry that he does, the scapes, the landscaping. We think about God as the weaver. The Bible says that God wove each and every one of us, literally, almost like a tapestry, and we find that at work. We see God as the healer. It's interesting, when I was at that party, because this woman celebrated her 60th birthday, we were in different tables. You know how it is with these kind of parties when you're in those tables. The common conversation when you're in the table is mostly about either health or death, amen? And so the conversation was usually about what maintenance medicine are you taking now? Okay, so thank God I don't have any. But the point in saying that is God's a healer. He's a doctor. Don't just think that you became a doctor because you were a doctor. There was someone who was out there ahead of you. And God was not just a healer, he was a shepherd. The Bible says he was a builder. He was a carpenter. The Bible says he was a father. By the way, part of the reason why we have trouble with this word work is because we so associate it with being paid for it. Are you following? And yet, when you think about the roles of being a father and a mother, most of the time, we don't get paid for that work. And that's hard work. That's 24 hours, 7 days a week work. When you don't understand that, you're going to disdain that. And so you got guys that retire, and then you've got their wives that start getting out of their old role and routine, and they now have their own careers and disdain their husbands who have retired because they're no longer working, thinking they're bums right now. But that's not true, because they're still fathers. And then you've got the husbands who come home and disdain their wives because they think that their wives are not earning any money and they're just staying home, and they think they're not working, when the reality is putting a house together is a lot of work. But when you don't understand work, I wrote maybe 19, in the 19, some of the women are clapping. Because we don't understand work. I remember years ago, I think it was in 1989 or 1990 probably, I wrote an article. And the article was a giant classified ad. And I said, wanted a wife or something. And I wrote the job description. You know, the part-time cook, part-time chef, part-time maid, part-time gardener, part-time electrician, part-time bus driver, part-time. And it just went on. You think about the work that goes into motherhood. And when you don't understand work, you dishonor that. Because it's not clear to you what this is. Which is why we, as believers, followers of Christ, need to understand. He's not just a father, he's an architect. The Bible says he's a soldier, he's a warrior. He's a teacher, probably the best teacher. He's a writer, he's a ruler, he's a boss, he's a CEO. He's also a creator, he's an inventor, and he is a businessman. Jesus, when he got lost and his parents started looking for him, found him in the temple, and they asked him, why did you do this to us? How could you have just departed from us? And he says to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Jesus understood work, and he understood that his Father was a worker. Many times, the reason why we don't like work is actually rather demonic. It's to keep you from fulfilling your destiny, because when you don't work right or you're lazy, you lose out on your full benefit. Or when you're not lazy, but you overwork yourself to the point where all you want is money and you burn yourself out instead of enjoying all of the fullness that God has. Somewhere along the way, there's a middle ground here. And that's what we want to find as we unpack this series. But today we're going to look at God, and I want to read this quote from Warren Buffett about this. The perfect amount of money to leave children is enough so that they would feel they could do anything, but not so much that they could do nothing. Sometimes when you have too much money, when people have their money and enough money, they think that the idea is to retire. I find a lot of men who've made a lot of money and retired and ended up in the wrong side of town, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Because they thought that just because they have all the money now, they can stop working. Without realizing, work is a vital part of who you are. You were created to work. That's why exercise is called a workout. It's actually good for you to get up in the morning and work out, because it will benefit your body. If you don't do that, you atrophy. Your muscles atrophies. When you don't work, your mind, your brain atrophies. It loses its sense of value and worth, because work is actually good for you. And God himself worked. But don't work just for money, because you're going to miss the point. There is a way to work right, and there's a way to work well, and there's a way to work. Not just for the finances, not just for the job of it. Now, the second point I want to bring up is this idea that God works well. God works. But God doesn't just work, God works well. And when it's all about the job and money and pay, what tends to happen is our work becomes mediocre, because if I really can get by you paying me and there's just enough the level I can give you, then I'll just give it to you. That's why mediocrity surrounds us. And as a nation, that's part of our problem. One problem is our people are not used to working. We're actually rather lazy as a people, amen? Hello. You know, when I was growing up in the 1960s, one of the heroes of this country was a guy named Juan Tamad. That's who Juan de la Cruz was. And he was the most popular TV show. He was actually lauded as a that's the prototype. His laziness. And folks, the Lord wants to bless our nation, but you're going to have to understand what work means. There's a middle ground where you work right and you produce right, actually rather excites you, makes you healthy. The other extreme is, the other thing is, there's a lack of working well. There's a mediocrity. Again, NAIA is rated as one of the worst airports in the world. And there's a piece of a ceiling fell from one of our airports. It's like, what gives? You can't even put a ceiling in its place. And folks, I'm not bashing the government. It's not governments, it's people. Hello. When there's mediocrity, God works well. God is not a cheap God. God is a God of details. God is a God of excellence. Just check out the flower. Just check out the texture. Just check out the color. There's no question that God is moving in our nation. There's no question that God wants to bless our nation because He wants to use our nation to spread His gospel. But folks, we're going to have to learn how to work. Gosh, that really fell. Serious, most of you are so, work to you is such a bad word that every time I say it, you feel depressed. You can't even laugh because you know it's true. It's a stronghold in you. And my hope and my point is that over the course of the next 4 weeks, you'll be free to actually find the grace of God to do work the way He intended it to be. God works well. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God created, God worked for 6 days. And then at the end of those 6 days, He says, He saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was not good. It was excellent. It was very good. And this is not from the standpoint of man. This is from the very eyes of God Himself. He's an excellent God. He's a God that deals with the big, and He's the God that deals with the small. He's the God of the macro, and He's the God of the micro. He sees every little detail. He takes everything into account. As a church, we represent God. I remember when we would meet here, we would tell our staff, listen, all the toys of every service need to be washed because our God is a God of details. We want to make sure that the saliva of the 8 o'clock children do not go to the 10 o'clock children. Are you here? We make sure that after every service, all the chairs are realigned for the next service. We make sure that every toilet is washed so that when you get in there, you don't experience the smell of the previous service. We look at the big picture. We look at the screens. We look at the temperature of this room. We measure the temperature of this room every week. We measure the sound level. There's the macro and the micro. We've got to be people of excellence. If we're going to be the people, and you know what? Life gets exciting when you become excellent. All of a sudden, the United States is studying this church. Japan is coming here. People are coming and saying, why is this working? Because there's excellence. And that's who God is. He's not just a God who works. He's a God of excellence. He's a God of the macro. He's the big God. Think about the galaxies. This is the Andromeda galaxy. Massive. 10 more than, they can't even count it. They tried to count it. By last count, they said there are approximately over 10 billion stars in this galaxy. Think about how massive this thing is. 10 billion of Earths in there. And they can't count it. But you know who can count that? God. He doesn't only count that. The Bible says He determines the number. He counts it. And He calls them by name. Think about that verse. You try naming everybody here. Okay? You try it, Virgie. Yeah. By the time you get to 1,000, you won't have any breath. God didn't name 1,000, not 2,000, not 3,000, not 10,000, not 100,000, not 200,000, not 1 million, not 2 million, not 3 million, not 4 million, not 5 million, not 10 million, not 100 million, not 1 billion, 10 billion stars. He works. And He knows their number. And He knows them by name. He's got the macro and He's got the micro. He loves work. He loves it. You should, if you understood what it is. And that's the goal of this series, is to break your wrong mindset about work. It's not your job. It's not your occupation. It's not who pays you. It's way beyond that. It's actually the best way to glorify God. And if you think the Andromeda is big, it's not. Because of the telescopes today, they found bigger ones. They found this Rosetta Nebula thing. You know what they found about this? They said, we can't even count the stars. So let's just count the suns. If you said the sun, our sun, let's just count that. They came out with over 10,000 suns in this thing. And they thought they found it all. So they kept looking and they found this other thing. It's called the Eagle Nebula. It's even several thousands larger than the predecessors. It is so big that if you took the Milky Way and you put it in there, you can't see it. And this God knows every strand of hair in your head. He works. And he's so into rhythm that he knows when to start and when to stop and when to smooth. And he has time to smell the flowers and say hello. Hi, Joey. I'm watering my plants today. That's the kind of work you should be in. And by the way, it's not because of the job you have. It's the spirit of work you need to get. You got to get a revelation. In fact, God's breaking some of your mindsets. You just don't understand it. You don't know what the Bible says about it. Some of you, the very mention of work, you hate it. It's like you saw a Dracula. The very blessing of God, the very thing that's going to build your muscles, build your soul, build your mind, build your abilities, you're disdaining. Boy, this is quiet today. I knew this was going to be hard. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim what? The work of his hands. He works. He's a God of excellence. He makes sure, you know, those things aren't going to float in the sky just because they float the sky. There are underpinnings under those things. There are major details and orchestrations that he makes sure happens to cause those things to float. And that takes work. That's not going to happen for lazy people. It's just not. Because he works. And by the way, he loves to work. So much so that he only rested on the seventh day. And when you think about the micro, God's not just into big stuff. He's into details, man. This is the DNA. They just discovered this. After all these centuries, they haven't figured out that there's such a thing as this thing called DNA. This is a real thing inside our body. It's so tiny. This thing, they can't figure it out. They're trying to, and they're still discovering things about this. And last year, they just discovered this. Although the rudiments, they're saying this about DNA, is the world's best digital store. They're trying to figure out, how do you store all the Facebook posts? They're trying to figure out, how do you store all the information that we're now throwing into the internet? And said, okay, we can't do that. The best way is to copy the way DNA stores it. Although the rudiments of storing digital media in DNA have been around since the 1980s, it was only last year, they're just coming up now, that Harvard researchers truly cracked the code. They were able to store 700 terabytes of data on a single gram of DNA. 700 terabytes is the equivalent of some 330 pounds worth of hard drives. You seen a hard drive? The one that you use at home to watch movies? 330 pounds of that to store in 1 gram details that will fit in your fingertip. With current technology, the sequencing of DNA retrieval right now, it's just mind-boggling. The details of God. The big and the small. And you know, guess what? You and I don't have 1 gram of DNA. We have 600 grams. In other words, we are so built for work. Our capacity is so amazing. And all we can do is, work. It's a curse. Thank God it's Friday. Are you nuts? You're destroying your destiny. You're destroying your ability to have fun. You're destroying your destiny to be prosperous and blessed and have more so you can bless your children. And you're trading it off for mediocrity, for being late, for being lazy, for being sloppy, for not dealing with the details and calling to attention what needs to be called to attention. I was at the airport a few months ago, and I walked in, and there were booths for for foreigners and for Filipinos, and there was no guy in the booth for Filipinos. Hello, there are more Filipinos in the plane. Hello, we're Filipino. And I had to call the attention of the, listen, guys, you can't do this. You do this and every foreigner thinks you have no, you can't play in the international game. You just can't. You don't have the excellence to do it. Every time you come late for a meeting, you know what you're telling an average Japanese and German and European? You can't play with us. You're going to be late. If we're playing soccer, you're disqualified. Not even business. Why? Just because you disdain the word? Get a grasp on what God has to say about work. It'll change your life. It'll change everything around you. It'll change your family. It'll change your children. It'll change your generations. I'm not mad at you if you're visiting, okay? This is just my natural. Nice. If you unwrap all the DNA you have in your cells, you could reach the moon 6,000 times. Think about that. How massive the details. The kind of thinking and effort and energy that God puts into his work. And yet he has time to relax and he's not burning out. It's not just because he has power. You're going to get it in a while how to do this. This is Jesus. You're going to see how Jesus worked. There's a way to work, folks. That you're not burning out, you're burning up. In other words, you're on fire, but the fire's not eating you. It's actually creating more energy for you. There's a way to do that. And the Bible talks to us about that. That's what we want to see over the next 4 weeks. Now, continuing on, Psalm 139, verse 4, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are awesome. All I've got to do is look at myself. God is awesome. Look at this work. That's what he said. It's not pride. Amen? Now, as I try and close this, God works. It's the first thing you need to understand. It's his nature. It's who he is. He's not a lazy God who just created creation and sat back and did nothing. He's a God of excellence. Everything he touches, everything he does is great. It's good. It's above par. It's not something that's sloppy. But thirdly, God works with a purpose. And this is probably the key to love the thing that you do. It doesn't matter whether you're a waiter. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a mother. It doesn't matter who you are. God will promote you if you will understand that God works for a purpose. When you wake up every day and there's no purpose, you know what it's going to look like? You're going to be standing in the MRT like this. Because you dread going to work. You're going to ride that cab and you're going to be the guy at the back. You're the guy who's going to be driving to office and every the closer you get, oh no, na 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 na, na 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 na. When you come to work with a purpose, it changes everything. Can't wait to get there. Can't wait to do this. Can't wait to do my work. Not my job, my work. How do you do this? To understand this, you're going to understand Jesus. John 5, verse 17 says, but Jesus answered them, my Father, by the way, until now is still working. And I am working. In case you thought that the Father stopped working, Jesus said, no, you don't understand. My Father is still working, and I'm working. How does Jesus work so well? Think about this. Jesus Christ lived for approximately, fulfilled his mission and his destiny on earth. The work that he really did was roughly about 3.5 years, less than 4 years. He did it all in a country that you can drive from north to south in 7 hours. Jesus never traveled overseas. Jesus did not have Facebook, hello? Jesus did not have Twitter. Jesus did not have any of that. And yet Jesus' work in that 3.5 years, this is how powerful this is. If you do the work right, what you're doing in 3.5 years supersedes you that thousands of years later, that work is still impacting somebody else. It's powerful. Some of us, the work you did yesterday does not mean anything anymore now. there's work that's blessed. When you understand work and how to make this work, there's a kind of work that's blessed. And here's the secret. Jesus woke up every day with meaning. Every single day he woke up with a reason for waking up. And it wasn't just his passion. Some people say, it's my passion, I want to be a chef. Yeah, great. I love chefs. I'm about to see one in a few minutes. I mean, I'm going to eat somewhere. I love cooks. I love all of that. I want to be, my passion is music. Great. But it's not passion that's meaning. That's going to dissipate. That's going to last. That won't last you. Jesus woke up every day with meaning, knowing that his reason why he did his work was because he wanted to glorify God. So you could be a mother. My wife was a mother from 1989 to this day and woke up every day with a passion to serve her children because she loved them and she had her meaning was very simple. I want to glorify God in all that I do. You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be a jeepney driver, you could be a waiter, you could be a call center operator. If you wake up every day and you remember the verses in 1 Corinthians 10 that says, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. When you get up every day and your sole desire is not to get the glory, but I want God to be glorified in all that I do. My work will glorify God. My writings will glorify God. My preaching will glorify God. The way I interface with the people I work with will glorify God. The way I do my accounting work will glorify God. The way I serve the people around me will glorify God. The way I do business, the way I design, the way I, my craftsmanship, my music will glorify God. And so every time you do work that doesn't glorify God, it'll dissipate. And every time you do work that glorifies God, it brings meaning to your life. Strengthens you, changes you. This was the power of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. You see, meaning, you can wake up and have meaning and say, I want to do everything for the glory of God. My entire existence is for the glory of God. That won't keep you working the whole day. You're going to have to go to the next level, which is a mission. It's not just that I have meaning for what I'm doing. I've got a very reason, a very target that I'm trying to do every day. Not just to glorify God. Now, to best illustrate this, imagine that we were on top of these two 100-story buildings. One is here, and the other one is over there. Okay, so two 100-story buildings, and in between these two 100-story buildings is a four-lane highway. Okay, got it? And then I put a little plank across, roughly about 4 or 5 feet in width. And I tell you, for $1 million, I want you to cross from here to that other side over this four-lane highway. How many of you will do it for $1 million? You'll do it for $1 million, okay? Who else? Some people just love some money so much, they'll do it for 100 feet up in the air. Shh, shh, you're willing to take the risk. For $1 million, who will do it? One person, two people, okay? Who else? There's two people here that will willing to risk their lives at a 100 feet, 100-story building, 5 feet in diameter, cross four-lane highway, okay? Huh? No harnesses, by the way, okay? No harnesses, no clips, no rods, no strings, nothing, no handles. Okay, so who else want to go? Lana, okay? Now, what if I said $5 million? Who's going now? Okay, we've got one, okay? No harness, huh? See, that's the power of money. A while ago, he wasn't willing to do it. Now he's willing to do it. Now, for $10 million, who's doing it? Okay, see? See how powerful money is? That's your job. You're willing to do anything for $10 million. But notice, most of you won't. That's why you're not happy to go to your job. Because it's not paying you $10 million. But what if you stood there and I stood here and I said, I've got your daughter over here. And I'm going to drop her unless you come over her and save her. What do you do now? It changes everything, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we've got the real guys that are saying, I'm crossing over. Because now I've got a mission. I've got a reason. Jesus did not wake up with just a meaning. He woke up every day knowing he had a mission. When you wake up every day and your entire goal is I want to glorify God in the work that I do, that everyone who sees me will say, that man's God lives. And you wake up every day and combine that with the mission. The greatest mission on earth is to connect people to God, the only one who can save them. It's changing the dynamic of work for you. It changes your body chemistry. All of a sudden, you want to do push-ups in the morning because you want to have strong legs, because strong legs are going to be what you're going to need in order to cross that four-foot ramp across that four-lane highway. All of a sudden, it changes the way you think, the way you read, the way you look at things. All of a sudden, you want to be excellent. You don't want to be mediocre. Because I've got a mission. And as I close, he says, I came. Here was his mission. That you may have life. And have it more abundantly. Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? I said this in the earlier service. God wants to bless your work. Interestingly, the book of Deuteronomy did not say God will bless you. He said, I will bless the work of your hands. He didn't say, I'll make you succeed. He said, I make your plans succeed. If you hate planning, you have nothing to succeed on. Because he's going to make your plans. And you know what plans are? It takes planning and work. To have good plans. God wants to bless this nation. There's no question about that. I was talking to an economist about Greece and what's happening in Europe, and says, you know what, Joey, all that means is there's going to be more funds coming into this country. And it's obviously the Spirit of God that's moving. He wants to bless this nation. But you see, a lot of money will just make all of us bums. But when you have work and all that comes in, then God is glorified. And the world will look and say, wow, what a nation. Those guys were always late. Those guys didn't know the front from the back. Those guys were always dizzy somehow. But you know, something happened to that nation. And it wasn't economics. It was they knew their God. Amen? And folks, you know who God's going to use for that? The church starts with us. By the way, if you want to know the most important discipline you can learn to please God, come to church on time. You'll always have a seat. And you won't have to get angry at the ushers. Just a little bit of excellence. A little bit of understanding. My God works. He's a God of excellence. And he wants us to have meaning in our lives. Not just a job. Oh, that's my job. My job is. No. Here's who I am. I love my God. I've served my God. Here's my role. And then you've got honor and confidence, a good sense of pride. I could be a waiter, but I honor God with my job. The work that he's given me. Amen? Which indescribable. That's who our God is. And he wants us to be like that. He wants a portion of us to be like that. Praise you, Jesus. You know, it's sad where you see people who, and I'm going to reference a name here. It's just because it's a true story. Watch Tiger Woods when he was a young man. Made a lot of money and could never be beaten. Once all the money came, the work was over. It was actually just a job. The excellence is gone. the attention to detail and the right grip and the right swing and the right amount of cottage cheese and the right amount of water that I have to drink is gone. Because when there is no meaning, when all this is about money, the day will come, those balls are not going to sink in the hole. But when there's meaning, when there's a greater reason to glorify my God, when there's a mission to see the world come to God, when there's a beginning and an end of my day, and there's a use for my day, that my day is not squandered over things, over a lack of discipline, something happens. God is glorified. And people begin to see that He lives in and through His people. Amen? Would you just close your eyes, lift your hands towards heaven? God, bless your people with abad. Grateful, fruitful, blessed labor. We believe it by faith that you will do something in our hearts, in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.